Praise the Lord. We're beginning, as I've said, to look at the coming of Christ. Okay, this is a journey, I'm going to call it. A journey of 4 weeks when we first look at the hope of Christ. And then we look at the peace and the joy and the love of Christ. Human traditions label this the season of Advent. This was not true from the beginning of the church. Originally, it was a time. It started around the 4th century, and it was originally a time for those who converted to Christianity to prepare for baptism. That's why this celebration or season was started, because those who converted to Christianity were preparing to be baptized into the faith. During the Middle Ages, remembering Christ's first coming was used to observe His promised return, and it continued that way until about in the last 50 or 70 years. Okay, we were looking forward to His return as the body of Christ. The body of Christ was looking forward, and many congregations still do use this as a time not only to reflect on the first coming of Christ, but to look forward to His promised return. And as I said, in our lifetimes, it was converted into a time of anticipating the birth of Jesus. It was just used for that. And this has happened in recent history. This wasn't always true. Of course, we've become accustomed to it, and so we do that as a part of our custom. We're reminded throughout this time, this season, as it's called, to be watchful for His return. And as Dorinda played, I loved last year, every Advent service, we played and sang, O come, Emmanuel, who saves us from Satan's power. You know, we know that God with us gives us the hope of everlasting life. It's not something that we have to grasp. It's something that we have. We have it by the work that He did. And during these 4 weeks, it's called Advent, we're going to visit those four positive aspects of Christ's coming. The hope that God instills in us. The peace that's been made between us and God. The joy of our salvation. The love of God coming onto earth to be with His people. And these things can also be viewed as attributes of Almighty God. It's not just something that we can look at from afar, but we can see that God Himself is love. God Himself is hope. God Himself is peace. God Himself is joy. And we have that by Christ in us. And so today I want you to open your Bible to the 9th chapter of Isaiah. The 9th chapter of Isaiah. We're going to begin with verse 2 and read through verse 7. Isaiah chapter 9, beginning at verse 2 and reading through verse 7. We're going to find Isaiah foretelling the first coming of Christ. And this is important to us as we prepare for His second coming, because those people missed His first coming. Those who had the Scriptures, those who should have been most prepared, missed His first coming. We do not want to be among those who miss His second coming. But of course, the Scripture tells us every eye will see. So missing His second coming isn't going to be something that we can do in a physical sense. It's a spiritual sense. We want to be prepared for His return. We want to be a part of His bride. And so we're going to see that the hope of humanity is found in the light of Christ, whose kingdom increases from here to eternity. From here to eternity. So now, if you don't mind, please stand for just a moment as we read these few verses. If you can. If you can't, that's okay. We're going to read beginning at Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2. The people we hear here that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation, and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden, and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise, and garments rolled in blood. But this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end. And upon the throne of David and upon His kingdom, to order it and to establish it with justice, judgments from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Pray that God would add His blessing to the reading and hearing of His Word today. You may be seated. In verse 2, we find the driving hope in Christ's coming. In verse 2, we find the driving hope of Christ's coming. We were all once people who walked in spiritual darkness. We didn't walk in worldly darkness, right? It wasn't dark all the time in our lives. We weren't walking in nighttime before He came. The world wasn't walking in nighttime all the time. This is a spiritual application. It's not a physical application. That spiritual darkness needed spiritual light to overcome it. And we've seen that bright and everlasting spiritual light of Christ. Each and every one of us has. We've seen it. Those of us who've been born again by that work of God through Jesus Christ, we have seen the light and we've come out of the darkness, out of the spiritual darkness. Obviously, we're not walking in daylight all the time. Sometimes it's nighttime on earth and we walk in darkness that way. So it's not talking about physical things. It's talking about spiritual things. And this is where we need to pay attention, folks, because the people of that time missed that reality. They missed that this was a spiritual message from Almighty God Himself to His people. His light instilled hope, and it still does. It guides, and it still does. It guides us out of the darkness of sin and death's shadow. Death's shadow, the shadow of death that was over all of us because of sin. That sin which came upon earth from the time of Adam. The wages of sin is death, as we know. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And as we celebrate that coming, when we think about the first coming, and we reflect upon that, we must also keep our attention on His return, because that's what matters to us. Where we are right now, especially in this time, in this age, where we are in this place, in this world, it is not about the baby that came before. We can look at that and we can thank God that He came so that when He came, He was able to do the work that none of us could do and He could bring us eternal salvation. And that's by His work. And we can thank Him for that. You know, it's written in Psalm 23, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me." God with us. Emmanuel, oh come, God with us. Come, come, Lord Jesus. This was a prayer that was lifted to God for centuries. And I think it's important that we not lose sight of that. And I'm not saying we shouldn't celebrate in the looking of the, okay, God sent the baby, and then He was raised, and then He did all the work that He did. I'm not saying we shouldn't do that at all, okay? But what I am saying is we need to put our attention to the fact that He promised to return. We need to focus that He said He's coming back, and that's the work that matters. It's not our sentimentalism looking back on something that happened thousands of years ago, and we have sketchy records of it taking place. There's not even a record of His birth in Scripture that says this is when it happened. There's nothing that says that it happened when we celebrate that it happened. And so we look at that and say, okay, we'll celebrate this as a way to say God answered that prophecy that said He was coming. All of the prophecies that were written were fulfilled. He came. That is a fact. We know that. It's indisputable. Anyway, hope. Hope is our attitude. It's our attitude that's promoted in Christ's followers because of the promise of God with us and in us fulfilled. We have hope. Because God fulfilled His promise, not only to be with us, but to be in us. Jesus said, "I will not leave you orphans. I will come and dwell with you." If God is dwelling in you, you are more than overcomers through Jesus Christ. More than overcomers. No matter what the world brings. No matter what the world does. No matter what happens in the world. We are overcomers. And we know that we can look forward to His return. The advent, the coming of Jesus Christ in glory, in power, in majesty, as the King of Kings, the ruler over all rulers. There is none on this earth who will not bow their knee, folks. They will all bow their knee. It doesn't matter what religion they follow. It doesn't matter what king they rule or what king they are. It doesn't matter who they are in this world. Almighty God is going to require each one to get on their knee and bow down before Jesus Christ. And that's a fact that we can't get away from. That's a fact that they can't get away from. We, of all people, have hope in Christ. We're repeatedly instructed and encouraged to be not afraid. His followers are given newness in His life that lasts forever. Our minds are transformed by the eternal hope that we have. This hope is eternal. It's ours in Him. We're also instructed to hold on to that hope. The hope that's in Christ. Fear, though, it sees and reacts to circumstances. Things that are around us. Hope goes beyond the circumstances. Hope sees and reacts to Almighty God who commands the circumstances. Yes, the sovereignty of God is found in this season that we call Advent. God commanded that this would happen, and it happened. And He commanded that Christ will return, and He will. And this is where we can place our hope, not in the things of earth, not in the things of this world, not in the things that are around us, but in Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Fear sees and reacts to what's visible in this life, but hope sees and interacts with what is invisible. We live our lives by faith. We have the hope of Jesus Christ, and we can go beyond what we see in the physical realm into that invisible realm of God's kingdom. And His kingdom is within you. Jesus said so. His kingdom is within you, and it is within you because you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are living examples of God with us. God in the world. And you can take that message to the rest of the world and say, here's what God offers you. Freedom from sin. Freedom from death. And I'm not talking about physical death because we know saints die. Saints go on to be with the Lord. But that life that we have is eternal life. And that starts by our belief, our faith in Jesus Christ. In Christ we have hope that animates us to act upon this planet in a way that glorifies Almighty God. Our lives are built upon the hope of Christ who assists us in building His everlasting kingdom. It starts with me. It starts with you. Each and every one of you. His kingdom come. We pray. Your kingdom come. His kingdom is coming in you because the kingdom of God is in you. That's the hope of everlasting life that you possess, you currently have. It's not something that you have to hope. Well, I hope it isn't going to rain today. I hope I have everlasting life. You have the ability to live with God eternity, in eternity, throughout eternity, by Jesus Christ. That's the hope that you have. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. All enemies are defeated by Him. In Him and through Him and in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all enemies are defeated in eternity. And we might face enemies here. Some raise up. You know, we've got all this stuff going on in our country. There's people that want to take over the country. They don't want it to be the way that it's supposed to be according to God. And God says, well, okay. By sin, you've allowed this to happen. By sin, this nation has fallen to the place that we see it, folks. And I know that's not a good news message. But you know what? Almighty God overcomes all things, all enemies. All enemies are defeated by Jesus Christ. Almighty God promised to send His Messiah, and He kept His promise. He also promised to return to gather His people, and He will return. He will keep that promise also. Isaiah goes on to describe in metaphorical terms how God would break the bond of slavery that held on to His people. The descriptions were used there to get people to see what was unseen, to get them to look at the spiritual aspect, the spiritual application, but they got stuck on the physical. They took these things, instead of seeing that God would expand the nation and increase happiness in the spiritual realm, that this was going to be a spiritual application, they saw it in the physical. They thought God was going to increase their nation. God was going to increase their happiness, their joy. The truth is that this is one of the many passages that the religious leaders misunderstood, and I believe it's because of their own sin. I believe they were steeped so deeply in sin themselves that they weren't able to see beyond their own sin. They couldn't see out of the darkness because they were existing in it, and the light of Christ was not penetrating into their lives, and they refused to look at Him. They refused to accept Him. They denied that He was the Messiah. They denied that He was the One, and eventually they crucified Him because of that. Because He challenged their way of doing things. Because He challenged what they held on to. He challenged their own worldly ways of doing things and their traditions. said, no, you got it wrong. And they said, no, we don't. We like it this way. He said, no, you've got it wrong. And they said, no, no, we like it this way. We want it to be this way. And they killed him for it. That's the bottom line. And that doesn't give us hope. Whenever he died, you think his apostles were over there cheering, hey, yeah, he died. Way to go, Jesus. No, they too thought that this was it. You look at how they ran and hid. They didn't know that this was the beginning. It wasn't the ending. And that's the point. It's the beginning. We're celebrating the beginning. Yes, this child came. Yes, there was a baby that was born. And we all love when babies are born. We celebrate the birth of humans whenever we're in this world. But our focus is to be on the fact that He said He'll return. He's going to return for His church, for His bride, for His glorious bride who is without spot, without wrinkle. That's what He says. And we can look at that and hold on to that hope that we have in the resurrection of Jesus Christ to go beyond all these things in the world. Psalm 23, we see that David shares the greatest preservative from fear. The realization of God's presence with us. That's the preservation from fear, folks. All these things that assault our ability to hold on to peace, all of these things, they come from the enemy. And I'll tell you, I'm not charging anybody, but I'm looking at me, okay? Because I too have to face all of those things that are in the world. But that preservative that we have, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. The coming of Christ was to instill God in this human existence so that we would have God with us. And we can go beyond what the world says. We can go beyond all the human traditions and all the human wills and all the human ways, and we can live in God's will. We can live in God's way. We can follow after that hope that we have in Jesus Christ by the power of His Holy Spirit who overcomes all enemies. We don't have to live in fear. We have the hope of Jesus Christ. It goes beyond anything and everything that we think about in this world. The Messiah's victory was in the war for human souls. You know, in Isaiah 9:4, He tells us that God will break the yoke that burdens the people. You ever see somebody tied to a yoke? They're immobilized in a large way, right? They're tied. They've got a yoke on them. Where are they going? They're going wherever that yoke takes them, right? And if they're yoked to a slave driver, and that slave driver's whipping them with something, what happens? They're stuck. And they're going to get beat. But Jesus Christ freed us from that yoke, that bondage that we had to sin. He broke those bonds. We're no longer tied to it. We do not have to be there. And that is the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. We don't have to sin anymore. We're not tied to it anymore. It doesn't matter if you were born a sinner, because you can break those bonds of sin by Jesus Christ. He does the work, not us. He makes the way, not us. He does all the work. And all we have to do is say thank you, trust, place our faith in Him, and we have hope. Isaiah talks about the warrior's boots and the bloody clothes being burned, the battle being won by the victorious King, the Messiah of God, who would overcome everything. But they missed it. They thought He was talking about a physical war. You know, these people were in bondage and they wanted to be freed. And they thought this guy was going to come riding in and He was going to save them all. You look on the day whenever He came down into Jerusalem and they thought, what's this man doing on a donkey? He's supposed to be on a steed. And what happened? A week later they killed Him. Why? Because they didn't get the picture. This was a spiritual application. It was not a physical application. This was something that people had to grasp in the spiritual realm and they refused. Let us not be among them. Let us recall that His advent, His coming, was for eternal salvation. It goes beyond the earthly realm. It goes into eternity. They took it to mean He'd be an earthly victor. They overlooked that. Hope by the service of our Messiah. Hope that we have by what He's done. In the passage that we open with, Isaiah tells of a child who will be born. And yes, this is what we celebrate in a large way in this country, at least today. This child that was born, this son who will be given to the people of God, and they looked at it from a physical standpoint again. And yes, there was a physical baby born. There was a physical child that came into the earth, the son who came from their people. It wasn't a stranger. It's known to refer to the first coming of God's Messiah. The people of God realized that this spoke about the birth of the one who would save them. They got that. But they missed that spiritual side of this promise. Prior to that time, no man was perfect in holiness. None. And here comes this man, God in flesh, and overcame sin, sinless, in all that He said, in all that He did. And that is our hope. Because of His righteousness, He became the atoning sacrifice that each and every one of us can be brought into the fullness of what God has for us. Isaiah said the government would rest on His shoulders. They thought that meant He'd rule over them on earth. But His rule is spiritual, folks. As I said, His kingdom is within you. He rules from within. All we have to do is step off the throne, surrender to Him, yield to Him, and He takes over. He says, okay, you're mine. I'm going to rule you now. And He's going to guide you by His Spirit. The Holy Spirit who resides within you will guide your steps. And you will, even when it looks like you're messing up, you'll walk on His path. He'll take you from sin to everlasting life. He'll take you beyond what it is that you see to what He sees for your life. That's hard for us to realize. Because we have to trust. We have to have faith. We have to hold on to that hope. We have to persevere. Isaiah said His name will be called a miracle. Wonderful. His name will be called Advisor, Counselor. His name will be called Powerful, Valiant, Warrior. He lays out all of these things that this one would be called, and people did call Him that. They called Him a Counselor. They called Him a Healer. They called Him Wonderful. They called Him the King. They wanted to crown Him, and He slipped out of their midst. These were terms that were used to describe what they would associate with the Messiah. Most importantly, peace, and we'll get to that one in a couple of weeks. Isaiah said His empire and His peace would have unlimited growth. He would establish David's throne and kingdom and uphold it with justice and righteousness now and forever. His kingdom is forever, folks. That's where our hope is. Our hope isn't in earthly kingdoms. It isn't in earthly rulers. It isn't in earthly governments. Though we as a people here have a process in which we can operate within our particular government on this land. But that's not where we place our hope. Our hope is in God who guides us. Our hope is in God who stresses for us that our life is not mortal in this life only. It is eternal in the life that He gives us through Jesus Christ. That's where our hope is. And as I wrap this up, I want each of us here to leave with a renewed sense of that hope. I want you to hold on to that hope. I want you to have that hope. I want it to be instilled in you no matter what the world brings, no matter what the circumstances look like, because God commands the circumstances. Circumstances in our present lives are irrelevant to the hope that exists within us. Circumstances in our present lives are irrelevant to the hope that is within us. God rules from within us. He overcomes all the circumstances with His light. It's free. Free for whoever wants it. Just come to Him and He'll give you the light. And you can shine that light. You can shine that light in other people's lives. Think about that. The light of Christ is free, folks. You've been given a great gift. You've been given power by Almighty God to hold on to the hope that He instills through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And as we look at the coming of this child, we must also remember to look at the fact that He said He'll return. God came down in the man we call Jesus. And that was to turn us to Himself by the hope that He provides. This world didn't need a new religion. It needed the divine presence of God. And God came into this world and said, here I am. Follow me. Ooh-wee. Think about that. Humanity has been given great hope in the enduring mercy of Almighty God. We've been given great hope because His mercy, say it with me, endures forever. His mercy endures forever. His mercy endures forever. His mercy endures forever and ever and ever. It is without end. Just as His kingdom. Without end. God came down. Humanity's been given hope. The light of Christ increases in His kingdom. Provides hope to all. hope sees and reacts to Almighty God, not the circumstances. And I'm not saying you don't watch the circumstances. The roads are icy. I'm not telling you just get out there and say, God's going to keep me. Punch the gas pedal down and go, right? No. Please, don't take my advice wrong here, okay? That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying as you're going down your life and you see the road is icy, trust that God will keep you, no matter what the circumstances are. His mercy endures forever. Our hope interacts with what is invisible by the Spirit of God who dwells in us. Hope embraces that which is promised beyond what is seen. Hope embraces what is promised beyond what is seen. Our hope is contrary to fear. Our hope is contrary to fear. Our hope is contrary to fear. It's our tool to use against fear and anxiety. Hold on to the hope of Christ. Hold on to the hope of Christ. In the coming weeks, as we look at the coming of Christ, let's not get all entangled in the things of the world. He's promised to return and His hope is eternal. It's ours in Him. Look forward to His coming with hopeful expectation. And as we move through the next few weeks looking at the coming of Christ, let's hold fast to that hope that's within us. And maybe share it with somebody else too. What do you think? Let's pray. Father, thank You for gathering us here today, Lord. I trust, Lord, that we have been true to Your Word. We know that Your mercy endures forever and that the kingdom that You provide within us by Your Spirit increases from here to eternity. It instills hope in lost souls. It provides hope to everyone. God, help us as we go forward. Help us to see and react to You and interact with You, You, the One who commands the circumstances. Let our hope interact with what is invisible. Help us to embrace that which You have promised beyond what is seen, Lord. Help us, Father, to be people who are not afraid, but that we can use our hope as a tool against fear and anxiety, that we can hold on to the hope of Christ. Thank You, Lord, that we've been presented to You by Jesus Christ, not as enemy combatants, but as children. Thank You, Lord, for the hope of His resurrection. Thank You for bringing this one into the world that we call Jesus. Thank You for coming. And Lord God, thank You for providing this sacrifice, the atoning sacrifice, that we might be raised to new life. Help us, Lord, not to be like those who were so religious, but help us to be relational. Help us, Lord, to know that we need Your divine presence, You with us, You in us. And help us, Father, as we go forward, to share this truth with others. We pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. All right, now we will open our hymnals to number 155. And we'll sing, He is coming again. Hope embraces that which is promised beyond what is seen.